To begin our new summer sermon series today called The Healing Savior, I want to draw your attention to Mark chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 40 through 45 from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of my sermon is A Transforming Touch. A leper came to him, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The second stanza of the hymn, Jesus Paid It All, goes like this. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. A friend of mine told me that when he was young, he thought this hymn said that Jesus could change the spots on a leopard, as in the big powerful cat. He thought it was pretty awesome that Jesus could do that. When he got older and he realized the song said Jesus could change the spots on a leper, my friend was a little disappointed. But he shouldn't have been. The power Jesus displayed in healing persons from leprosy was downright divine. The Greek term lepros in Mark 1:40 does not strictly denote modern-day leprosy, which is also known as Hansen's disease. Rather, this word was used to describe a variety of skin conditions in the ancient world, perhaps including psoriasis and ringworm. Although leprosy was not always severe in the medical sense, everyone with leprosy had it hard. They were not only physically ill, they were also socially and spiritually alienated. One reason was that leprosy was commonly viewed as punishment for sin. This assumption may have derived from the story in Numbers 12 when Miriam sins against Moses and then comes down with leprosy. In any case, persons with leprosy were often seen as persons on whom God was exacting retribution. To contract leprosy was also to become defiled in terms of Old Testament purity codes. In other words, leprous persons were unclean according to Holy Scripture. Lepers were therefore treated as ritually impure outcasts. Leviticus 13, 45 through 46 states, "The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled. He shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This is a rather harsh law. It requires persons with leprosy to keep their hair messy, their clothes torn, their abode outside the camp, and to yell unclean, unclean, in order to announce their presence. But it does not prohibit lepers from entering a village and generally being around other people, which is what occurs in Mark chapter 1. Still, any time a leper was in the vicinity, it would have caused an awkward social situation. An ancient compendium of Jewish teachings known as the Mishnah says, all can contract uncleanness from leprosy signs, excluding Gentiles and resident aliens. In other words, among Jewish people, the ritual uncleanness associated with leprosy was thought to be contagious. Not only could this contagion be transmitted by physical contact, but airborne transmission of impurity was possible. For instance, the Mishnah says, if a man unclean with leprosy stood beneath a tree, and one that was clean passed by, he becomes unclean. Even cups and bowls could become unclean in proximity with leprosy. Even clothing and houses could become unclean in proximity with leprosy. Therefore, when a leper entered a synagogue for worship, he was to be cordoned off. The Mishnah says they must make for him a partition 10 handbreadths high and 4 cubits wide. He must enter in first and come forth last. Since lepers were believed to carry transmissible impurity, most folks would have steered clear of them. Back then, if by some odd chance your hand had accidentally grazed a leper passing by, you probably would have hurried to rush and wash your hands as soon as possible. The Mishnah even lists several things that lepers contaminate in the same way corpses do. Lepers and dead bodies were analogous in certain ways. And thus, to heal a person from leprosy was like raising the dead. Only God could do such a thing. That's what makes the leper's request so striking in Mark 1. He says to Jesus, if you are willing, you are able to make me clean. By way of contrast, the man whose son has seizures in Mark 9 says to Jesus, if you are able, please help us. To which Jesus says, if you are able, all things are possible for him who believes. Evidently, the leper already senses that Christ possesses divine power. So he declares, you are able to make me clean. The Greek term translated able is dunamai. And according to Bible scholar Joel Marcus, Mark often uses this term to imply the ability of Jesus to do something that is impossible for mere human power. While the leprous man has faith in Jesus' divine ability, he questions Jesus' compassion. If you are willing, he says, you are able to make me clean. His heart must have leaped when Jesus replied, I do choose. Be made clean. The leper was cleansed instantaneously. He was cured in a flash because Christ spoke the healing into being. Be made clean, Christ said, and it happened. Christ is the Word of God made flesh, as John 1 reminds us. And in this case, the Word made flesh speaks favor to the stigmatized. The Word made flesh speaks cleansing to the impure. The Word made flesh speaks grace to the sinful. The Word made flesh speaks healing to the infirmed. Yet Jesus not only speaks healing, he also touches the man. This is a noteworthy detail because Jesus was plenty capable of healing people remotely. In Luke 7, for example, he heals a centurion's servant at a distance. He never comes close to the man, never even lays eyes on him, and yet he heals him. Jesus was also able to cast out demons and unclean spirits by the simple command of his voice. He had done so earlier in Mark 1 when he encountered a man with an unclean spirit. He said to the spirit, "Come out of him." And the spirit did. Clearly then, Jesus does not need to touch the leper in order to cure him. And if ever there were a time for a remote healing, this was it. If ever there were a time to heal someone by a simple voice command, this was it. To touch a leprous man would be to associate with impurity. To touch a leprous man would be to make contact with spiritual contamination. To touch a leprous man would be to chance contagion. To touch a leprous man would be to risk contracting his uncleanness. And despite all this, verse 41 says, Jesus stretched out his arm. The Greek terminology indicates a deliberate, even emphatic gesture. Jesus intentionally breached the boundaries between clean and unclean. Many folks are hesitant to touch certain types of people, but Jesus wasn't. He reached out and touched the leprous man. I can almost hear the collective gasp of the bystanders. I can almost see the shock on their faces as a fundamental rule of social and spiritual etiquette was so audaciously violated right before their eyes. Maybe Jesus touched him on one of his sores. Maybe he briefly rubbed an area where the man's skin had broken out. Maybe he simply patted him on the back. In any case, the very imperfections on the man's epidermis that repelled most people had drawn the touch of the great physician. Although Jesus' touch was superfluous for curing the man physically, it was critical for healing the man emotionally, socially, and spiritually. Look at what is happening here on the emotional level. The everlasting arms are reaching out to touch the psychologically anguished. Look at what's happening here on the social level. The Son of God is reaching for a man on the margins. Look at what's happening here on the spiritual level. The Holy One is touching the impure. The clean one is touching the unclean. The sinless one is touching the sinful. Look at what's happening here on the theological level as well. The hand that fashioned the solar system is reaching out to touch an unseemly, unholy outcast. He who was alone, Jesus comforted. He who was alienated, Jesus welcomed. He who was untouchable, Jesus touched. He who was a sinner, Jesus loved. It was assumed that leprosy and contamination were transmissible, but Christ shows that love, grace, healing, and holiness are also transmissible. When impurity is met with His holiness, holiness prevails. When sin is met with His grace, grace prevails. When lowliness is met with His love, love prevails. Christ is not tainted by contact with human flesh. Human flesh is healed by contact with Christ. We all need human touch from time to time. We all need human touch from the time we are born. I knew a fascinating couple when I was in graduate school. They were super smart people and deeply devout Christians. Dana and I had dinner at their apartment one night in Nashville, and they were telling us about how they were going to take a semester off to go on an extended mission trip. To do what? I asked. Hold babies, they said. Hold babies. They were going to spend thousands of dollars and fly thousands of miles to another nation overseas to stay at an orphanage and hold precious babies who had no one else to hold them. I once read about a man who runs a ministry for persons experiencing homelessness. He said that the first thing he does whenever someone new arrives at the ministry seeking help is he gives him a hug. He added that whenever he sees a homeless friend of his, the first thing he does is he gives him a hug. Giving people hugs is a major aspect of this man's ministry because he has discerned that among the many needs of persons experiencing homelessness is a profound need for human touch. Can you fathom how desperately the leprous man needed a loving touch? Can you imagine how long it must have been since the last time somebody hugged him or shook his hand? The touch may have been just as healing for him as the removal of his skin condition. We see here that Christ literally reached out for precisely those people that society marginalizes, for precisely those people that are neglected and undervalued, for precisely those people that religious folks have alienated, for precisely those people that appear dirty, sick, or unholy. He literally touched people that were widely deemed untouchable. It's a good thing, too, for if not for Jesus' tendency to reach out for the unclean, who among us would He ever embrace? If not for Jesus' deep compassion for the sinful, who among us would He ever love? If not for Jesus' willingness to make contact with contaminated human flesh, who at all could ever be redeemed? In the final analysis, the story of Jesus touching the leper is a microcosm of the incarnation in which God made contact with human flesh in order to redeem it. The divine and the human touched one another in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, who was God in person, went around touching sinful human flesh with a gracious, compassionate, healing hand. When Jesus touched this man who had leprosy, God's love for all humanity was decisively confirmed. We see here the entirety of the gospel. We see here the entirety of God's relationship with humanity. We see here the entirety of Christ's ministry as he reaches out with divine love to touch a sinner with healing grace. What a marvelous Savior we have. What a marvelous Savior indeed. Amen.